Our scripture lesson this morning is Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 30. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue as he normally did and stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me and has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." Everyone was raving about Jesus, so impressed were they by the gracious words flowing from his lips. Then they said, "This is Joseph's son, isn't it?" And Jesus said to them, "Undoubtedly you will quote this saying to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard you did in Capernaum.'" He said, "I assure you that no prophet is welcome in the prophet's hometown. And I can assure you that there were many widows in Israel during Elijah's time, when it didn't rain for 3.5 years and there was a great food shortage in the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to a widow in the city of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. There were also many persons with skin diseases in Israel during the time of the prophet Elisha, but none of them were cleansed. Instead, Naaman the Syrian was cleansed." When they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with anger. They rose up and ran him out of town. They led him to the crest of the hill on which the town had been built, so that they could throw him off the cliff. But he passed through the crowd and went on his way. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we're here to tell you that rejection is not a welcome surprise. So give us the courage to stand with Jesus, to stand with the poor, and stand against the blindness of our own personal gain. And somehow, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, I know that Christmas is past, but in some ways, the lessons of Christmas are for always. And Epiphany is, after all, the realization of something new, a discovery in the middle of the familiar. So I quote this morning Mike Slaughter, a United Methodist pastor from Ohio, when I say, "It's not your birthday. Christmas is not your birthday." Well, then what about all these gifts? Well, we kind of know that the idea of gifts given at Christmas is very little inspired by the Magi, and a great deal borrowed from St. Nicholas and other legends of little gifts being left behind. No one wants to hear this version of Christianity. It's not your birthday, and the gifts are not for you. And that is precisely why the neighbors and relatives of Jesus would like to throw him off a cliff. This message is unpopular. But this is Jesus telling us the gifts are not all for us. His hometown, you know, has been hearing the tales. Jesus has been healing and teaching. So here he is in his hometown at the synagogue. He's given the honor, and it is a very great honor, to read the scripture. And then in the story, Jesus sits down after he reads. Now, I realize many of you already know this, but in this context, the teacher sits down to teach. So he's not sitting back down in the congregation, he's sitting down to teach. Now, the objection to and rejection of Jesus begins when he takes authority to teach. At first, there's awe and acceptance, as the text reads, "So impressed were they by the gracious words flowing from his lips." But isn't it always the negative energy which seeks to overpower the positive? So now they're trying to shrink Jesus down to size, you know, too big for his britches kind of thing. "Hey, isn't this the carpenter's son? What carpenter makes it as a man of letters or learning after all? Rabbis aren't butchers or bakers or candlestick makers. Let's see you do here what you say you did over there." But instead of doing a miracle to show them, Jesus tells stories that they know, stories from the days of their own prophets. And his point is to remind them that not all the good news of God is for them. And to prove this point, he preaches and teaches. So Jesus reminds all of them of the tradition of the prophets, not the rabbis. First, he says this colloquial saying, which we know too, "Physician, heal thyself." In other words, prove that you are all that the rumors say. And that prophetic tradition is, as Jesus states, no prophet is welcome in the prophet's hometown. So what does Jesus do? He tells them the stories, the most beloved stories, about the most beloved prophets to these people. Elijah and Elisha. They don't get any higher prophets than that, okay? They're the most beloved, most famous, the most honored. And what does Jesus say about them? Basically, the story says, "Elijah wasn't sent for you." Here's how the text reads. "And I can assure you that there were many widows in Israel during Elijah's time, when it didn't rain for 3.5 years and there was a great food shortage in the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to the widow in the city of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. Elijah came to heal and do God's miracles for a foreigner." Elijah saved a good-for-nothing widow in a foreign land, and not someone among the righteous widows of Israel. This is blasphemy in their ears, even though the story is their story. And of course, Jesus doesn't stop there. Just in case they missed the message, he says, "There were also many persons with skin diseases in Israel during the time of the prophet Elisha, but none of them were cleansed. Instead, Naaman the Syrian was cleansed." Stand up in your home church and tell them that God's good news is not just for them. You will likely be rejected. Nobody wants to hear from the boy next door, "The miracles of God are not just for you." Or even more threatening, "You may miss out this time around so that people who are not your people might be blessed." What did Jesus read from the scroll? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, and has sent me to preach good news to the poor, proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In truth, this text that he read from Isaiah 61 was meant to comfort the people of Israel, meant to demonstrate the hope that Israel would return to the top of the heap. Later in the same chapter, it makes foreigners the servants of the people of Israel. Uh-oh, because that's not what Jesus is saying. This is Jesus, the radical rabbi who says, "You have heard it said, but I say. You have 613 commandments, but I say love God and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus reinterprets the tradition to be the inclusive story of God. But friends, this is a story that we love to reject because it threatens our priorities, our prejudices, and our pocketbooks. What message of God would threaten your hometown? When you think about the people who raised you and shaped you, where might Jesus' message be hard to hear? What message would be rejected in your hometown? What if your hometown was in Utah? What if you were Dan Reynolds, the lead singer of Imagine Dragons band? Any fans of Imagine Dragons? All right. I got four or five hands. I'm just saying, for those of you in the front. Even if you are not a fan, you would likely recognize the hit, "Pain, You Made Me a Believer." Yes, Dan is a Mormon. He's married and the father of two, but he is very Mormon. He did his 2 years of missionary door knocking. He's one of nine children, and he is on a mission of God to set the captives free. But he's starting with the captives in his own Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. In response to the skyrocketing suicide deaths among the LGBTQ community in the Mormon community, Dan Reynolds is saying, God's good news is not just for the establishment and not just for the elders, not for the 12 apostles of the Mormon church. He hears the gospel good news in the face of the pain that is rolling down the faces of parents and siblings and friends. The graves are crying out to end the pain in God's name. So Dan Reynolds is doing what he was taught to do as a Mormon. As he says, if you want to make a difference in the world, you start with your own community. So on July 28th, 2018, he hosted the Love Loud event in Salt Lake City, a benefit concert to fund foundations that save the lives of LGBTQ youth. Dan is a straight man who was confronted. His wife's best friends didn't come to their Mormon wedding. Why would they attend, feeling they were supporting a religion that was denying them their human rights to marry? Because this was in the heat of the debate in California over Proposition 8, which the Mormons financially backed to the hilt. Dan names our own personal demon of self-absorption. He says, if this doesn't affect me personally, just let it work itself out. But he corrects himself and says, that's a fallacy, isn't it? It'll just work itself out. I don't need to worry about it because it doesn't worry my life. Thinking that others don't matter. But Dan said he couldn't live with that. Can we? Can we face up to the fact that God's good news isn't always just for you or just for me? What is the purpose of my faith in God, in my life, and in my world? What is the purpose of our faith community as the messengers of God's good news? In 1960, this congregation embraced the first slogan of the UCC, a quote from Jesus, that they may all be one. Some people walked away, and some people came to stay. In 2005, the UCC denomination embraced marriage equality. In 2006, this congregation became open and affirming, and some people left, and some people found us. In 2011, this congregation issued a call to its first LGBTQ pastor. And Elaine and I are still here. And so many more of you heard the call too. We're all so blessed that you are here. In 2017, Pastor Liz and I went to the annual meeting of the UCC, of the Michigan Conference. There's always a training component to that meeting. We came home convicted that if we want to be part of the solution of racism and not just part of the problem, God has some blindness to heal among us. Waking up to our racism as white people is painful. What is it Dan's big hit sings? Pain, you made me a believer. Tyler Glenn also did his mission knocking on doors in Omaha, Nebraska, the same city where Dan Reynolds did his missionary time. Tyler is an openly gay and Mormon and lead singer of the band Neon Trees. Any Neon Trees fans? No. He did an album called Excommunication. That was the name of his album. It was a scream in the face of the Mormon community. Neon Trees was one of the opening acts of the Love Loud event. And I can't imagine what kind of courage it took for these two men, one gay, one straight, both Mormon missionaries, to stand up in a stadium in the Mecca of Mormonism and say, "Let's love loud." Are we willing to be rejected for the sake of God's good news? I can confess to you that for the most part, I have avoided rejection. I don't like it. I left the Lutherans because they didn't ordain women. I left the United Methodists because they didn't ordain LGBTQ people. Well, at least knowingly, they did ordain me twice. I am a digital reality for the United Methodists now. They convinced me to sit down in front of a camera and tell the United Methodist Church about the pain and the good news of God, which they miss bringing to others. And friends, they keep playing that recording. But that doesn't get me off the hook. I still need to be willing to be rejected by my own community, meaning the gospel of Jesus is sometimes for someone else. We are not the poor. We might be the blind, though. And the gospel of the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, is an eye-opener. Last Monday, we honored the memory of Martin Luther King, Jr. We honored the civil rights movement he advanced. And we also remember the Poor People's Campaign that he had just begun to lead and that we are seeking to revive and live out loud now. Next Sunday, we will be in Black History Month. And as a nation, we are seeking to recover from our ignorance from our blindness to the suffering of others. Every Sunday, we seek to look through the lens of Jesus to see where God is asking us to stand up and risk rejection. Not all the gifts are for us, but all of us are messengers of God. What message is God giving you that your hometown doesn't want to hear, but that Jesus wants others to know? May we feel the call as we sing the Black National Anthem.